In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
I got a chance to be molded by him more than most do. You know, a lot of people don't get a chance to see their fathers. You know, I was all day. I saw him in school. He was my gym teacher. You know, I saw him at weightlifting afterwards in the off season. I saw him at 7-on-7s. I saw him at practice, games, and we got a chance to spend so much time together. And still why we're that close currently.
And our guest this week is University of Delaware head football coach Ryan Carty. And Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time.
I appreciate you having me again.
So let's start, as we are recording this in February, I guess you're about 14 months you've been the head coach. You've gone through an entire kind of life cycle of a first year of a head coach. Has life slowed down now that you're kind of on your second time of doing things, you know, across the board?
It has. And it's, you know, I think the first year was pretty much a whirlwind because, you know, anytime I did anything, regardless of day or month or week or, you know, anything on a timeline, it was the first time I had ever done it as a head coach. And so you had that learning curve kind of going continuously for about a year. And so now this is the second round of off season I've had, you know, as opposed to just the first. And so, you know, we're learning from the things we did the first time around. And, you know, I don't think the pace of being a college football coach has slowed down, but certainly, you know, being able to handle everything and, you know, going through the process the second time does slow down some of the, you know, your brain, at least in the way you think and process and understanding that you've already been through something like it, you know, even though each situations are usually unique, but you have that learning process you already went through after year one.
You had a successful first season. Guys get to the playoffs, win a playoff game. I'm curious, for you personally, how long does it take you to kind of completely take in a season, kind of mentally categorize it, and until you move on? How long do you need to kind of put it all together mentally before you kind of turn the page and start looking ahead to the next?
Well, it's funny, you go through phases as a coach, because like right after, obviously, when you're in it, you hop right into recruiting and you have a taste in your mouth, good or bad, on how things went. And they're not always 100% right. You know, sometimes you think away and then you go back and self-scout and watch it, and it wasn't exactly how you thought it was. Most of the time, as experienced coaches, we have a taste, we have an understanding of what it probably is going to look like, but maybe some nuances were a little bit different. And then we go through recruiting, and recruiting lasts a little bit longer now because of the timelines and the portal and all that. And it's a little different. But as we come out of it now, you know, we're still on 2022 and 2023 at the same time. So we're still trying to, you know, go through all of our self-scout and make sure that we're clean in the things that we did, and trying to get questions from what we did and get issues fixed and places that we'd love to improve. And then we're also at the same time looking toward 2023 and at everyone else that did things well in getting those questions answered, you know, at the same time. And so hopefully we can put that all together by the time we get to spring ball and then do the same thing for spring ball. Okay, what did we do well? you know, what do we need to improve on? Who does this well? Where can we get our questions answered? So that when we roll into fall camp, we're hopefully in a really good place as coaches and players and understanding what we want to be and what we want to look like and who we are. And so, you know, we'll still have, again, that's the beauty of this game. There's still going to be fluidity to it. There's still going to be injuries and changes and additions, subtractions. And hopefully over the course of the next, you know, 6 months or so, we get a pretty good understanding, though, of what we needed to do better from last year, what we need to continue to improve upon and keep the same, and then move it along and hopefully get more repetitions at it come spring ball and fall camp.
To the point of spring ball, a second spring, I'm sure your first is so much implementation and just logistics from a who's who and stuff like that. How much further along the field, forgive the pun, will you be heading into your second spring where, you know, stuff's in, obviously new players have to learn, but the core understanding of what you want and what's expected is there?
I would say so much more. And I'd say the biggest difference would be the coaches understanding what practice should look like and what pre-practice should look like and post-practice should look like. And all those things that were implemented pretty quickly. And I had to essentially, you know, teach and information to the coaches of what I wanted. They didn't necessarily know what my vision was and what it looked like when we got out there, even if we talked about it. And so it was harder for them over the, they had to also learn on the fly and disseminate information into their position groups as we went out there. Whereas now we're going to have new players and a couple of new coaches going through these processes in spring ball that we didn't have last year at this time. But that information gets passed along a little bit easier. There's more norms already as opposed to just everything being new. I mean, 100% of everything in spring ball was new last year. Now, not as much of it is. And so I think it'll be a lot easier. You know, hopefully we can kind of get back down to, you know, the fundamentals in the business that we need to take care of during that period because of that, because it'll be a little bit easier to kind of transition from one, you know, section of the offseason to the next.
First year as a head coach, did anything surprise you? And when I say that, I don't mean an outcome or a play call or stuff like that. Just something that came across your desk that ended up being under your purview that you wouldn't have thought you were responsible before you took over? Because I know coordinator, you've been around, but I would think once you're the guy, there's got to be a learning curve just of what you're supposed to handle.
Yeah, there is. And I think, you know, as much as I maybe not surprised, just, you know, when it happens, you know, when you're actually in it, you know, I think you know, because you've been around football for so long. And I've been a position coach at four different positions and then a coordinator for a long time. So I kind of knew what head coaches had to deal with, which was one of the reasons I didn't want to be a head coach for a while. I think there was a lot of things I was like, it's not really what I'm here for. But so I think I would say the surprising thing for me was not that I had to deal with it. It was that I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. I think there were some things that, you know, I really always kind of thought were things that I didn't really want. I just wanted to be in the weeds of football and X's and O's and do that and be with the guys. And I do think that, you know, the impact that some of those other head coach duties that get thrown at you, you know, can be very instrumental to making, breaking your culture and your foundation and how good your team can become and how you deal with those situations. And so, you know, that outlook on it was a little bit different once I was in it, that I think that's what surprised me is that, you know, I didn't hate dealing with those things. I mean, there's some things that are easier to deal with than others, but, you know, I think it's another way to get a touch point with a student athlete. And it's another way to, you know, maybe help a young coach become who he wants to become in the profession, all those other things that you deal with that aren't just X's and O's. And so, you know, it's all culture building and hopefully it all adds up and accumulates into, you know, something that we can say is a winner.
You mentioned early on that the head coaching thing for a time there, you were like, I think I'm good. So what switched? Was there a point in your career where you started to take a bigger view and it started to become more appealing? You know, what kind of flipped that switch for you?
The University of Delaware reached out to me.
Really? That was it?
And I said, yep, that's the one. That's it. I mean, even up until then, it wasn't something that, again, I wasn't against it. It just wasn't something that, and I always tried to kind of put my head down and be really good at the job that I had. That was always what I was taught to do. And, you know, you have your goals and you have things that you believe that you might be able to do in your life and accomplish. But, you know, you really have to focus and be really intense in the thing that you're doing at the time. And I've always kind of done that. I've always, you know, done my best to try to stay focused on my current, you know, whatever my charge is. And, you know, so no, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't out there. This was the first time I interviewed for one. This was the, you know, this was all I didn't always want this, but this is the job that I would always have thought in the back of my head that, well, I mean, that's a different one. If those guys, you know, ever called, I'd jump at that one.
Can you share how the first touchstone was reached? Like, what was the initial contact and what went through your head when this started to roll into form?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's a little different nowadays, I'm sure, than it used to be, because it was actually a search firm that reached out to me, you know, in the probably, I don't know when it was, whenever they, you know, hired a search firm. And I don't know when that was. And I honestly, dates at this time, I don't recall right. any of them anymore. And it was a little bit of a whirlwind at the time, as you know, because I was, you know, we were still in the playoffs and we're mm-hmm. going into the playoffs. And when I was at Sam Houston, and so honestly, my head wasn't 100% in it. But when, you know, of course, it was one of those things, that one of those conversations that you can't not have because of how important this job is and how great this job is. I mean, it's one of the best jobs in the country. And I'm fortunate and blessed enough to have been involved in it and then have the opportunity to get chosen to do it. So it was a whirlwind of a time because of that. I was basically at two jobs there for a minute, and it was exciting, but certainly stressful and tiring.
How did you compartmentalize? Did you dedicate certain portions of the day where they would be forward looking to Delaware and the rest of the time was Sam Houston? Or was it just you kind of tackled things as they came, regardless of what direction they came from?
No, I was pretty deliberate and pretty, you know, I don't want to say aggressive, but I was, you know, matter of fact, and that, you know, and I think the people here appreciated it, and our administration appreciated it, my current administration appreciated it. You know, I wasn't going to do anything to detriment the run that we were making and the commitment that I had made at Sam Houston. And so I basically only did things when I was done working. And so, you know, if I had, you know, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, when I'm working those 15, 16 hour days, I worked those 15, 16 hour days. And then if they still wanted to talk to me after that, they could, you know, or if they needed me to fill something out at that point, I could, or whatever it was. And so, you know, I tried to do it the way that I would like to have it done for me if I was a head coach here and somebody had an opportunity to go somewhere else. And, you know, just the devotion that you have to the team that you're currently coaching for, it's got to be sacred. And it's got to be something that's kind of the most important thing. Even though, of course, we all know that there are decisions that are made based on, you know, what's best for people's families and you know, livelihoods. And those things are certainly going to be affected in this profession. And so we have to have that understanding. But as long as we're all kind of in an unwritten contract of, you know, let's devote our time to the team that's currently employing you first and then the other guys second, that second process second.
So growing up, was football always your top sport, or were you playing whatever was going on in the neighborhood or whatever was in season? Like, where was football on your depth chart?
Yeah, I was a football baseball guy more than anything. My father was a football coach, and is a Hall of Fame coach in the state of New Jersey. Both of my brothers were Division I scholarship players as well. And so, you know, football was obviously important. It was the most important sport in my household, whether or not it was, you know, the most important for me. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, I thought baseball might have been the sport that might take me further, just, you know, based on size. And I was a short quarterback and all that. And then I ended up doing okay as a junior and senior and getting recruited, and because I loved football, I wanted to do it more than I wanted baseball. But, you know, I thought maybe my stature might force me that way. And so, yeah, growing up, it was basically football. I mean, we played all the sports because back then that was exactly what you were supposed to do to be a good football player, right? Was be a multi-sport athlete. And obviously when you're not playing football, you have to be competitive at all times and compete and win and learn how to win and lose, learn how to fight, learn how to, you know, be tough, learn how to be mentally tough. And all those skills that you learn in other sports, they translate, you know, whether it's ball skills or hip movement, athleticism, you know, any of those skills all translate. So
quarterback. And what was it about playing quarterback that you loved? Was it being kind of the center of the universe? Was it the cerebral part of dissecting and making decisions and game planning and stuff like that, you know, or was it just cool? I don't mean to be flip about it, but at a young age, a lot of times just being the quarterback's the cool thing.
Yeah, I was. It's interesting you asked that because I haven't thought about my playing days in quite some time because they were pretty unexceptional here. And so, you know, I would say the thing about playing quarterback that probably struck me at an early age was that the ball had to go in my hands every play. And I appreciated it. Like, I wanted that. I was always that kind of player. You know, if there was a game on the line, I wanted to be the guy at bat. And, you know, I wanted to have that pressure on me. I appreciated it. I liked it. You know, it's not something I've ever shied away from. And that's probably what drew me to that position. You know, being the most important person on the team, I don't know, for whatever reason, that's the way my psyche was. I think that probably drove me to work a little bit harder and maybe love the game a little bit more. It certainly, you know, probably prepares you to be a coach a little bit more because obviously everything you do is under a microscope. And when you lost, it was your fault. And when you won, it was usually a little bit your fault and some other people's reasons. You know, some other people had the reason for winning. If you threw a nice ball to them, it's usually those guys who got the credit, which is awesome. And that's pretty much what being a coach is, right? I mean, you know, you get some credit for wins, but you get a lot of credit for the losses. And, you know, I think that prepares you for it earlier. And so maybe that's, you know, a little bit of a parallel there.
And you mentioned your dad football coach and he was your high school football coach. What was that like? Was it difficult to maneuver when he's your dad and when he's your coach? You know, did it lead to, I don't even know if tension, but just some tense moments and stuff like that? What was that like?
Some awkward dinners on Tuesday nights. Yeah, I did. I'd say that my father is one of the nicest men I've ever met. And so like it was, he's a tough coach, but he was one of those guys that it's hard to find players who played for him, you know, summer of high school that didn't love him. And so he was a little bit harder on me. And it took me a little bit of time to realize that, you know, when I was younger, when I was a freshman or a sophomore, I'd get angry about it because he might yell at me a little bit more than everybody else, even when I didn't really do anything wrong that day because he hadn't yelled at me yet and he needed to because I was his son. And if he didn't yell at me, then he couldn't yell at everybody else. And, you know, when you're young, you don't necessarily get that, you know, and it takes him a little bit of maturity, a little bit of experience in it to realize that that was what it took to do it. But it was always in a loving way. And he would always be very honest with me about it post practice. And once you understand the rules and you understand the parameters of how this is going to go, it was certainly the best experience that I would not trade it for the world. I mean, the fact that I got a chance to spend so much time with my father in those formative years, and luckily enough, I had a great one who, you know, has touched so many lives in a positive way. And I got a chance to be molded by him more than most do. You know, it's, you know, a lot of people don't get a chance to see their fathers. You know, I was all day. I saw him at school. He was my gym teacher. You know, I saw him at weightlifting afterwards in the off season. I saw him at 7-on-7s. I saw him at, you know, practice, games, and we got a chance to spend so much time together. And still, why we're that close currently, I assume because of the bonds that we built during that time in high school.
You feel like you're similar to him as a coach?
I do. I feel like I certainly have some aspects of him. You know, and I certainly know the foundations of my offensive philosophy or the things that he believed in very, honestly. He was kind of a pioneer in the way that he threw the ball. I mean, he was throwing the ball at Bosco and they, you know, in the, you know what? I mean, it's got to be late 70s. Everybody else is running I formation, power I, triple option. He was out there throwing quick game and fades and, you know, things that nobody else was really doing. And I think that, you know, he always tried to be on the cutting edge of things. And I think I appreciate that. He was always creative. And so I do think that he's certainly on that side of things, on the X's and O's side of things, played a huge role in how I started to probably think about football and how I coach it as well.
We need to take a break. We will have more with University of Delaware head football coach Ryan Carty right after this. This is One-on-One.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And we are back on One-on-One. Our guest this week, University of Delaware head football coach Ryan Carty. So you play in high school for your dad, college, Delaware. You were a part of Tubby Raymond's final recruiting class. Am I correct?
You are. Yeah. He retired the day after signing day.
Were you aware that that was how it was going to work, or was that a kind of a surprise?
Yeah. I mean, I think we were not surprised. I mean, we weren't surprised that he retired at all. I'd say that early. I think we expected to play for Tubby for a couple of years, that it was a possibility, though. He was getting up in age, and I think he had alluded to it, and it wasn't some secret that I think he was on his way to retiring. You know, the fact that it happened the day after we signed was a surprise to everyone. Yes. I would assume minus a couple of coaches that were on the staff, but, you know, I don't think anybody really expected that one in the recruiting class.
So what was it that sold you on Delaware past, you know, a relationship with Coach Raymond? What was it you saw? What did you like about the University of Delaware that sold you on it?
Well, you know, I'm a little biased right now, but yeah, there's not much not to like. And so, you know, the fact that you can come to a university and get a top 40 public school education in the country, you can have an unbelievable community following and fan support. You know, back then we were averaging 22,000 a game. You were kind of the pro team in a state. Obviously, we got a lot of Birds fans around here, but you know, this is the big show in town on Saturdays in the state of Delaware. And then the social life on campus was always great. You know, I got a chance to meet so many new people, so many friends. The professors here were always so helpful and help guide you to become the best version of yourself. And you know, just the resources that we had here for an FCS program, 1AA at the time, was, you know, we're better, you know. And so I was lucky enough to be recruited by these guys, and shoot, it was a great decision.
So your career, you end up backing up a couple of really legendary Delaware quarterbacks, Andy Hall, Joe Flacco. You're a part of the national championship team. What are your favorite memories from your playing days?
You know, I do think the national championship game was a fun one. Just the fact that you get there. I wish I had the same perspective then that I have now. It's obviously that's part of perspective, isn't it, though? You know, and you know, I think at the time as a young kid, you know, I didn't enjoy it as much as I probably should have because I just assumed we'd be back there. You know, I was a young kid and, you know, well, I'll just do this when I'm the starter later on, you know? And so I probably didn't soak it in as much as I should have or could have at least. And, you know, I think even though I wasn't always on the field, I do really appreciate, you know, the things I look fondly on are the relationships that I made. You know, I think I always loved being a good teammate. You know, I think the people that I met throughout the time and helping other guys get better at what they did and hopefully helping the team in some way You know, being voted captain when I was a senior was a pretty special thing for me. You know, I think that's hard to do, you know, as I've been a coach now, is get enough of a presence on the team to be voted a captain when you're not the starter. You know, is something that, you know, I'm proud of. It's also something that I do think I probably, again, probably could have done better, you know, as a young kid. You know, I see it from a coaching perspective now. You know, it's a hard job when you're not out there to make a play. You know, how do you balance that? You know, what do you say to somebody on the sideline when you're not on the field? And those are things that are tough probably for, you know, a kid who's still trying to figure out, you know, his own way and wants to be on the field and all that. And so I think there were some unbelievable moments that we had playing, but mainly the things that you remember are the ones that aren't on the field, and the times you had and the camaraderie you had and the growth you had with, you know, fellow athletes. And, you know, I really just cherish the time that I had here.
You mentioned you didn't play as much as you'd like. You were the number two for the most part behind some really good players, but that is tough at that age. How much did having your dad as your former coach, was there discussions with him of this is how it is, you've got to do the best you can? Do you think you could have handled it as well if you didn't have coaching in the family?
I don't know. It's a great question. And I, you know, who knows? You know, I I'm not saying there were probably times where I didn't handle it well either. So it's not, you know, I certainly was not a great teammate all the time. You know, I know that it took me a while to kind of, you know, I was always competitive and I always worked hard. But whether or not I was always in it 100% when I, you know, got the bad news, you know, probably took me a while to wrap my head around it before I got back in it. And I'm certain it could have gone a different way for sure if I hadn't been around those kinds of things my whole life and been prepared for things like that. I'm also thankful that there was no transfer portal at the time, because I certainly wouldn't have stayed, you know, just how this works nowadays. And then I wouldn't have my current job. And so I'm glad that I did.
Was there a conversation with yourself about this? Because, you know, you're fighting for the job and you don't get it a couple times. Was there ever okay, this is what it is and we're going to make the best of it? Or did you not kind of look at it in that kind of finality, you know, as a kid?
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a finality until, you know, obviously until I lost the job my senior year to Joe. That was probably the time where it was like, all right, well, this is where I'm at for this year. And, you know, I'm probably going to still be the number two all year. And, you know, I got to be the best number two I can, you know, prepare like a starter, be the best captain I can, try my best to be a good leader and, you know, continue to help Joe. I mean, I, as talented as he was, you know, whatever I could do to help, you know, hopefully we can do that, you know, go be a running quarterback when I needed to be and stuff like that. And so I do think that happened probably then, but it probably took 5 years, you know, for me to, because again, I was never not competing to be the guy. You know, that was the one thing that was probably good for me. If there was a finality earlier, I probably would have been a little bit of a different kind of person, you know? And so there was always that, that carrot there that I could be the guy, which was probably good for my development.
Was coaching, given your dad being a coach, was coaching always something you figured eventually would be in your future?
I didn't want to do it. I know that it was not something I always wanted to do. You know, I want to say going into my senior season, I decided I wanted to do it. So until then, I was almost against it. And I knew I didn't want to coach in high school. It wasn't for me. And I'd watch my dad do it. And at that point, I'd watch my brother do it. And it just wasn't for me yet. And so, you know, at some point, I did decide I think I just didn't want to do anything else. You know, I was like, I don't want to, you know, I was a business major and none of it really interested me as far as like, you know, exactly what I wanted to do. Nothing called to me other than the sport. And so I thought at least I would go put my all into it and see if I liked it. And I loved it. So
what's the first foot in the door once you decide you're going to give it a try?
Well, I got lucky. It's a weird story, but I was actually going into, you know, our New Hampshire game my senior year. I was talking to Coach Kelly on this in midfield during warmups, and we were talking about what I wanted to do. I said I wanted to coach, and long story very short, eventually, you know, he helped me get a job at New Hampshire. And so it all kind of stemmed from there, a random conversation. And he had known me through recruiting me and when they offered me out of high school, and then they still recruited from my dad, obviously. You know, Coach Dawson used to go down there and recruit Jersey. And so, you know, there was some connection there, and they, you know, trust me, I didn't, the foot in the door was a very, very low paying job. and a lot of hours, but it was exactly what I was meant to do. And I learned so much up there and got a chance to really, that was what made me the coach I am today. It was that time I spent up there with Coach McDonald and the New Hampshire football program.
Early in your career, when you're 22, 23, and you're coaching a lot of kids that are 21, 22, 23, I'm sure it helped that it wasn't your former teammates, because I've talked to a lot of people who, like, as a GA, they're at the place they were, and the guys they went drinking with a week ago, now all of a sudden there's got to be different rules. But was it still challenging getting respect, or did it help so much that you were just a new face in a new place, and even though they played against you, you know, it didn't have the same effect as if you were trying to do it at your alma mater?
Yeah, I think it would have been very tough to do it here, and I don't think Coach Keeler would have let me. I think, you know, knowing that Coach Keeler is a great person and would have wanted what was best for me as a coach too, if that's what I wanted to do, I'm sure he would have given me a job if that's all I had, but I don't think he would have wanted me to do that. I think he would have been right. You know, you have to kind of go learn something else and spread your wings and get away from the guys you were just with. I was old too. So I was old for my grade and I played 5 years, which not everybody does anymore. And so I was 24 probably when I went up there, or at least going into 24, like probably turning 24. And so I was there was probably only like one or two guys my age. But still, I mean, like, you know, Rick Santos was the quarterback there when I got there, who, you know, had 1 year left and was basically a year younger than I was. And, you know, I got a chance to have a great relationship with Rick. And that's kind of the thing is, I think at that point, since it wasn't my teammates, it only helped. Like at that point, I had a chance to, you know, come at it from a different view, but also understand and relate to the players a little bit better, as long as there was that disconnect between player coach, which is on, you know, it's on the coach at that point.
Was there a first moment when you were coaching where you made an adjustment with a kid that you saw the light go off, or you made a suggestion in a meeting and it turned into a big play on Saturday? Like, was there that kind of that first, I don't even know if aha is the word, but the wow, this is really awesome moment?
You know, I don't remember one specifically. I do know that place was such a think tank type of environment, and offensively in particular, it was very free flowing ideas. You could go in there with ideas as a young person, as an old person, it didn't matter. They were going to be talked about as long as they made sense and you researched them and you had your P's and Q's minded. And so it happened, you know, early. You'd be able to have a play in the game plan, whether or not it got called or worked or whatever. But those things, those affirmations certainly helped me grow and understand that I wasn't just some guy who was doing all the work, which I was doing a lot of work as well, because that's what you do when you're young and you're a GA type guy. But I don't remember specifically with a kid, but it is one of the best feelings in the world when you see something come to fruition that you talked about and you worked on specifically, especially like technique wise, man, there's nothing like that when you're repping technique and you can get to that point where it turns into muscle memory for a kid and then you see it show up in a game. It's pretty fun to watch because, you know, I think there's that mutual understanding that it's what we did together, you know, coach and player that got us to this point and that got us a win, or even if it's a win on a one-on-one in one play.
Won a national title, we mentioned, during your playing career, won a national title at Sam Houston as a coordinator. How does reaching the top of the mountain hit differently in different roles?
Well, I'll tell you this. And like I said, I probably didn't cherish it enough when I was a player. And so it's certainly, players put in a lot of work. And when we're players, we think we put in more work than we probably do. But let's say, you know, it's in season, we put in 20 works of countable hours, right? 20 hours of countable work, sorry. And so, you know, I probably, you know, as a coach, you put in what, 100 change. And so, you know, I think that there's that difference of, I mean, the what you put into it, when you get that out of it, when you can say that nobody else did it better than us this year, it's pretty special, because especially at our level, there's no bowl games. So there's one team that's happy at the end of the year. And to be that team, you know, again, I've played for a long time, coached for a long time now, and it's only happened to me twice. And I'm fortunate, because a lot of times it doesn't happen to anybody, you know, at all. And so it does hit different as a coach. I assume it'll hit different as a head coach when we do it here. You know, that's hopefully the plan.
Final question. Favorite part of what you do?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I don't want to be too generic with the answer, but not too off from the question you asked two questions ago, is the impact you can have on a group of young men. Not just saying, you know, affecting change in individual kids. That's awesome. It really is. It's fun. But, you know, the ability to go through something with a group of people that's really hard, is it just, it forges bonds, and it's it's you know, when it works out the right way, I mean, man, is it special to be around the right group of people that buy into each other and do things with each other and for each other. And every day that when they go into a situation, you know, they know that the reason they're going to come out of it right is because of the people around them. You know, being in charge of that, at least being, you know, one of the people in charge of that, I mean, that, it's very rewarding. And so, you know, I like the, obviously the X's and O's part of it, but man, is that a special part of something that not everybody gets to do? I mean, a lot of people are part of teams, but a team this size, with the pressure on it, that it has, especially at the University of Delaware, you know, to come out on the other side of victories together is very special.
Ryan Carty, thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate you, Matt.
That will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank University of Delaware head football coach Ryan Carty for being our guest this week. If you like this show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, want to help us out, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.